As I always say, God is good. And all the time, God is good. It's so good to be here this morning because it was not me that got me up. It was God who allowed me to get up. And it was not you who got yourself up, but it was God who got yourself prepared that you might get up. And for this, we should be eternally grateful. As we live in this society in which we live in, there are those who would disrupt society and cause problems and heartache and pain. I'm going to be praying for the high schoolers all over the country, all over the world, actually, but in particular, those down in Texas and even right here in our own state of Illinois, because we've had a couple of more shootings in our schools, and we need to be cognizant of that matter. I heard one official down in the state of Texas make the statement that we have prayed and that doesn't seem to help. And I would ask that man, what will help if prayer won't help? I would ask that man, if we devoid ourselves of prayer, where would we, any of us, be? I would ask that man, if you do not consider the Lord to have all power, who then would have the power to change the situation? So let us go to God in prayer this morning. Our wonderful, magnificent Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have blessed us. You have lengthened out our lives to give us another opportunity to be in the household of faith once again. We thank you, Lord. We pray for our leaders in this congregation. We pray that you would grant them wisdom and knowledge to lead this congregation. We pray for the members of this congregation and their families, that you might give them wisdom as well. We pray, O Lord, and thank you for your Son, Jesus, who went to yonder's cross on our behalf, not on his behalf, but on our behalf. We thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for all of those in the audience this morning. We just pray and thank you for them being here. We pray for any that might be on their way still, that they might get here safely and without any hurt, harm, or danger. We pray for those who might be traveling this morning, that you grant them safe passage to and from their destination, that they may come again and be in the household of faith. Father, I pray this morning for what seems to be a new trend now, the school shootings and the shooters are in those schools. Yes, Lord, I'm praying for the shooters too, because they need you even more so. Father, I'm asking you to give them strength, give them wisdom, and give them knowledge that they may accept your word as truth. Father, I pray for the families of the victims of those mass shootings that have occurred. I pray and ask you, Father, to bless those families and strengthen them. Give them the knowledge to know that all is not lost, and that you are keenly aware of what's going on, because, Lord, you are still in control this morning. Father, I know that you are in control because you brought the daylight right at its proper time, O Lord. You brought the rain at its proper time, O Lord. And even though we think it's almost summer, Lord, you still say we might need our heat a little longer. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us to know the difference between right and wrong. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for our law enforcement officials who must face the danger of running into shots being fired. I pray and ask you, Father, to bless them and give them strength to continue to do their jobs. I pray and ask you, Father, and thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us, and the things that you continue to do, and the things that you will do, Lord, if we but obey your will. Thank you, Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, I thank you for the men who have taken part in the services thus far this morning. And I pray for those from this point on, including myself. Thank you, Father, for everything. It is in the name of Jesus. I pray for the sick and the shut-in. Sister Lee in particular, and any of those who might be members of the household of faith. I pray for those who are mourning this morning for the loss of loved ones. Thank you, Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, be with us and watch over us this morning as we move on into these furtherance of these services. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Romans chapter 8. We'll revisit the scriptures very shortly. The Christian's glorious standing in Christ is what we're going to talk about. When we hear the words in Christ, what do we mean? Well, it means the position we have in Him. The blessings we receive are known as positional blessings. This means the way God sees us and not how people see us. When children are born to their parents are usually happy. And they see them as equal as far as their positions in the family. But after life happens, and many a child may go straight and many a child may go wrong. Yet they are both sons. They are the same positionally. By societal standards, they are different. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans today, let us look at a few nuggets found in the gold mine of God's word. We shall look at the standpoint of what it holds for a child of God. Condemnation means to know something against, to think it all ill, or to condemn one. Picture, if you will, with me, one who has been found guilty of a crime, punishable by death. That person is sentenced to death by the courts. That person is taken away, placed in prison cell, put on death row to await the day of his execution. Then for some unknown reason, a pardon is granted, and he is set free. The lost person has been found guilty, and sentence has been passed. Eternity in hell was the sentence, but thank God we have been granted a pardon. We are given an opportunity to be freed from the prison of sin. We shall praise the Lord this morning because this is what has been done and what has been given to us through Jesus Christ. We are no longer condemned. Romans 8 and verse number 1 tells us, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. This is what Jesus has done for us. Thank God for those who are in Jesus. Let us pray for those who are not in Him, that they may soon come to Him. In 1 John 3 and verses number 20, the Bible says, For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. In matters of life and death, God can fix no matter what may be wrong with us. God can fix it. And I would say to that person that I heard down in Texas, God can fix it. No matter how bad it may seem, no matter how deep it may be, no matter how tall it may be, God is able to fix it, if you will. Look at the text once again in 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now we'll revisit the other scriptures. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that which was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. According to the Spirit, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're not a part of God, you're a part of the flesh and you're a part of sin. That's just basically what the scripture is saying. There's no sugarcoating it, but that's just the way it is. There'll be no alienation. Alienation means withdrawing from or forsaking one because we are children of God when we were freed from the bondage of sin. Notice Romans 8 and verse number 14, if you will. Look at verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Amen. Brought into and with others adoptees, owned and loved by God as his children. Not only children of God, but heirs of God. Look at verse number 17 now, if you will, with me. Verse number 17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Not only children, not only are we children of God, but heirs of God, what privileges do we have as sons of God? Well, the answer can be found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. Turn over with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. And that's something I want to caution us all on this morning. Don't feel rejected when the world does not recognize us as sons of God. Did they not reject our Heavenly Father, Jesus? Didn't Jesus tell us that they persecuted him so that we will be persecuted as well? The world still has a long way to go to get to the Christian understanding of the Christian love that Christians have for the Lord. No alienation because we have God on our side always. For we are told in Hebrews 13 and 5, I will never leave thee. Jesus has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We as true believers have this promise that he will be with us in life, at death, and forever. As we all know, God does not break his promises. Children are taught to mind their parents to do the right thing, and as children of God, we are to stay obedient to our Heavenly Father as well. We keep God first in our lives if we are to receive the benefits of being an heir and therefore the children of God. There will be no miscalculations. When the weather outside gets cold, we prepare our bodies to be warm. While we are outside, we put on our winter coat or winter clothes to keep our body heat inside of us. So it should be with us as Christians. We must dress up. We must put on our best defense against Satan. And Jesus is the best wear for all seasons. We often wonder why this thing or that thing happened. I'll tell you a little secret. We need to stop worrying about things that, trying to figure out things that we can't have no control over, and start controlling that which we can, like getting to church on time and preparing ourselves for the Lord's return. We need to stop pretending to be Christians and be for real about it. Look at verse number 28, if you will, of Romans 8. I'm jumping, I know, but that's okay. Romans 8 and verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. We must love the Lord. We need not only to say we love him, we need to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. There will be no mistakes when God calls us. He will work with those who are his and will be called according to his purpose. Oh, how blessed we are to be called a child of God. How blessed we are to be called a child of God. It is good to know that we are called according to his gracious purpose and has become, and not because of any merit on our part. We didn't do it, church. It was because of God that we are in the position that we're in today. We are children of God. When we love God, we need to know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Notice the text in Romans 8, 35 through verse number 39, if you will. 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ our Lord, Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, no, nothing can separate us from the love of God. What a wonderful Father we have in God who protects us and keeps us, and he won't allow anything to separate us from his love. But I tell you what can separate you from God's love. You. You can separate yourself from God's love. We have a glorious standing in Christ if we hold on to God's unchanging hand. God won't allow anything to be separate us from his love, but we can separate ourselves from him by walking against his will, being disobedient to his word. To our young folk today, they need to be taught by the adults, but let me rephrase that. Some of the adults need to be taught themselves. I don't mean no harm, but I'm just telling it like it is. There was a time when we sent our children to school to learn and to get an education. Today, they now must be concerned about things like learning what to do in case of an active shooter drill and other distractions. What's happening to society today? I'll tell you what's happening. We have allowed God to be pushed out of schools. We have replaced him with electronic devices, telephones, computers, emails, and text messages. It used to be saying an apple a day will keep the doctor away. But I believe a prayer a day will keep God fresh in our minds. When I was in grammar school, the one thing that disturbed me the most was what was called what I wanted, which was called a transistor radio. A radio small enough to fit in my shirt pocket. I was finally able to get one. It cost $5, and I had to put that on layaway because I didn't have $5. Today, our children are wearing $100-plus gym shoes and jeans that are torn up to make them look fresh, as they say, and be in fashion. If you ask our children to repeat the 23rd Psalm, most cannot, but ask them to tell you their favorite song. Not only can they tell you the name of it, they can sing it to you as well. Ask them when was the last time they attended church. Some will tell you last Easter. Or when I went to the wedding of my cousin, she was in church to get married. Folks, we need to have more God time and less recreation time. We need to stop allowing our children to have them rely on electronics to grow up. Unfortunately, many adults can't fix it because they're too much into the same category. If you want to be an heir, a child of God, if we want to be as Romans 8 14 tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to consult God more. You know, church, when you think about it, wonderful things happen when you know God. Wonderful things take place in our lives when we know God. We are heirs to the throne because of Jesus Christ. And what I want to tell you this morning, church, is if you don't know God, what's holding you back? If you don't know God, I'll ask you why. And I would like to know your answer why you don't know Him yet. But nevertheless, God's will is going to be done. And I'm not going to tell you don't be concerned about the things that go on in the world today. I'm not going to tell you not to be concerned about all the school shootings and about all the natural disasters that are taking place, because your mind is going to wander to those points anyway. But what I will tell you is that God is in control of it. God knows all about it, church. God already knows about the volcanic eruption in Hawaii. He knows just when to stop the lava from flowing down the hillside. He knows about all the fires in the forest in California and in Arizona. He knows about it. He knows about the school shooting in Texas. He knows about the one in Illinois because he saw it before it even got here. God knows it, church. God is in control. God is still in control. He knows your every ache and your every pain. He knows my every ache and my every pain. He knows about it. Never thought I'd be concerned about my feet swelling up. But when I got older, stuff started to happen. And I tell you, you live long enough, it's going to happen to you too. Never was concerned about coming down these steps like I am now. I have to take them one step at a time. I used to just almost jump down. I used to be concerned that one day I might get gray hair in my head. Now I got a head full of gray hair. I used to be concerned about how well and how long am I going to see without glasses. Now I can't see hardly without them. But I tell you something, I know who's in charge. I know every time I go to the eye doctor, I know what he's going to do. I can almost do it to myself by now. He's going to tell you your vision is all right. Well, how come I can't see as well as I used to if it's all right? But there's nothing that he can do about it. It's called the aging process. And I'll tell you something else. When you get to a certain point in life, you start to hurt sometimes. And you may shake your head and say, why am I hurting? Because I don't know anything about it. I had a pain there. But it comes at all times and all stages of the day. But I tell you something, church. I know that God is in charge of my life. And he ought to be in charge of your life too. If you're not allowing God to be in charge of your life, you need to rethink your priorities. You need to ask God to control my life for me, Lord, because I can't do it by myself. Every time you go out in the street, you got to be concerned about will you get back into the house. You know, and when you're driving your car, you got to be concerned about, is this one going to cut me off or is that one going to cut me off and then get mad at me because he couldn't make it? God is still in charge, church. God is always, have been and always will be in control. Now, God may not stop things from happening, but he is still in control. You remember one of my favorite characters in the Bible, Job? How that Job lost everything that he had, including his children. But guess what? Did he bounce back, church? He sure did, and he had more when he came back around than he had before he went around. What are you saying? I'm saying God is in control. God allowed Job to be tested like that, and he may be testing us. So don't fail the test. Just be ready, get ready, get ready, be ready, and stay ready. Because God knows what he's doing. And I don't want to question God on about anything. I had a lot of questions in my mind a few days ago, but I didn't ask God. I didn't question God. Because I know that he knows what he's doing, and I have no clue as to what I'm doing sometimes. But nevertheless, I know that God will make it out all right. God will make everything all right. So whatever your question might be, whatever your situation might be today, just ask God about it. Go to God in prayer. And don't listen to that person down in Texas who say we don't need to pray anymore. He didn't say we didn't need to pray. He said we prayed enough already and it hasn't helped. That's what he said. We need more than prayer, according to what he was saying. So I ask the question, what's more than prayer? If we can't handle it by ourselves, then we must need God's help. Isn't that right? If we can't handle it on our own, we must need some help. And the help we get, where do we get our help from? Our help comes from where? From the hills. God is in charge of a cattle on 1,000 hills. So let us recall and remember that God is all right, church. He's still in charge. And we have a glorious standing in Jesus Christ. All we have to do is activate that by doing good and keep on doing good. And a lot of people, yeah, I got a minute or two. A lot of people think that, I heard one man say, I've done all that I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anymore. I do enough around here. Well, I don't think you do enough until God says you've done enough. I don't think that you've done enough until God calls you home, actually. Then it's enough. And only then. That is right, Brother Hill. So when you have an opportunity to thank God, you ought to thank God because you owe him a lot of thanks. You owe him everything. You owe him your very waking up this morning. You owe him the last breath that you exhaled, the last one that you inhale. You owe that to God. It's not because you have such a magnificent body that you can do these things on your own. You rely on God, and we just take it for granted that I'm going to keep breathing. Well, I got some news for you. You're not. Not without the Lord who's at hand and in charge on everything. God knows just what to do when it comes to giving us our life's breath. And we talk about how bad the air is, but I don't know if I want to do without it. The air quality is good today, they say, or the air quality is bad today, they say. But we have a glorious standing in Christ Jesus, church, and we need to activate that and use that to the advantage of being heirs and children of God. We need to make sure that we get everything God has in store for us. And we can't do that unless we be obedient to his will. We can't do that unless we learn to love and be more attentive to God. And by the way, you may as well learn to love each other too. I know it's difficult to love some people. Some people you can't love because you say they're too bad, you can't love them. But I'll tell you something. We must love each other. If we don't, we're disobeying the new commandment that Jesus gave. And we don't want to do that, do we, church? So let us become our glorious, let us activate our glorious standing in the Lord. The Christian's glorious standing in God. You okay, Brother Randall? Okay. Let us remember to keep ourselves unspotted from the world as we move around in our day-to-day activities. Let us thank God for everything and in all things. Be thankful to God. How do you get to be a glorious standing in Jesus? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. You become a Christian. And somewhere, sometimes we walk astray. And don't think it can't happen to you. It can happen to any of us. From the pulpit to the back door, it can happen. So when you think about it, if you've walked astray, you ask God to forgive you, ask the church to pray with and for you, and let you grow stronger that you may continue to walk as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.